This is On the Other Hand.
We are continuing our conversation with Jeannie Burris and Mary Hunt, leaders with Braver Angels of Central Arkansas Alliance, today on our program, On the Other Hand.
Both of these women have been leaders in Braver Angels Arkansas the past couple of years, and although they are on different sides of the political aisle, they really believe in working together across our political divides in respectful ways.
Yeah, April, they certainly inspired me, and I think they will do a really good job as they continue. But I think just in these two interviews, they've been great role models for folks about what we're trying to achieve in Braver Angels. And I think that most people do have good hearts and good intentions. So with a little bit of conscious attention on each of our parts on how we behave toward others, I think we have the potential to really improve our relationships across the partisan divide. That's what Braver Angels is here for. That's what we're hoping for with this podcast. So for any of you folks who may have missed part one, where Jeannie and Mary talk more about their backgrounds that led to their desire to be depolarizers in our community, if you'd like to listen to it, just go to our website at arkansas.braverangels.org. Well, I think this next question I was going to ask probably gets at something y'all have already talked about. So let's see if you have anything else to add to this. And it's like, you know, okay, most people would agree in theory that working together across differences is a good side, but there are some people who see problems with that. So do you, either one of you, have any concerns or worries about working with people on the other side politically? Let's start with you, Jeannie.
I'm not concerned about it because I'm not afraid of compromise. I think that, politicians need to learn to, number one, quit dehumanizing the other side, the people on the other side. And number two, you know, step one is to find common ground, in my opinion. And then step two would be to, okay, here's common ground. We recognize that we each might have a different way of solving it. So how can we meet? Is it possible to meet in the middle? Is it possible to compromise? And, springboarding off what Mary said about, you know, how there seems to be more people in the camp of far left and far right, they see compromise as almost a dirty word. And I find that concerning. And I'm not concerned about working with the other side, but I think we have to, you know, recognize the dignity of each person and not dehumanize. We have to be willing to find common ground, and we have to be willing to compromise, you know, and that takes patience and sometimes perseverance.
Okay, thank you. Mary?
Not only am I not afraid to work with the other side, but I'm anxious to and welcome it. I've always had a desire to learn about people who are different than me, who've grown up with different cultures, who have different views. And for me, it's fascinating to find out the differences and the whys behind those differences. So I realize that by finding common ground, we can usually come up with the compromises we need. But for me, discovering the differences and how people have that different view for me, I think is exciting and rich and rewarding, as well as allowing us to get to solving our issues or problems.
Yeah, I will add just one thing that a lot of people, I think more extreme beliefs on either side, tend to think it's a win-lose proposition, that if we talk to people on the other side and give credence to anything they have to say, then we lose on our side. It's like one side has to win. But of course, I think most of us realize that if you do that win-lose proposition, we all lose, as y'all have already said. It leads to paralysis and nothing getting done in government at its best, and at its worst it leads to things, you know, societal strife, even civil war. So I appreciate what y'all have to say about that.
Of course, or some people consider compromise to also be a lose-lose kind of thing where you're not getting everything you want. And I think that's the point that I hear you saying, is that if we look at it just at that level, then we're going to not see that there's any benefits to what the other side is saying or doing or policies. And we often can find big picture different. I mean, our differences, yes, they're differences, but we can find creative ways of solutions of other things when we involve people and we take the time to talk to them. So I'm wondering. I'm sitting here and I'm like, and I know both of you. I mean, you're beautiful people, and I'm like, wow, this is what they have is sounds really idealistic in this kind of world. And so I'm curious, because you both have gotten involved with the organization that we've mentioned called Braver Angels. I'm curious if you've seen how you've seen that organization actually help you embrace these views, or if you just came in already with the views and the communication skills needed to do the kinds of things that you're talking about. How have you changed? Mary, I see you're shaking your head. People on the radio can't, or podcast can't see that, but so why don't you start with that? So how has Braver Angels actually taken what you already maybe came in with a desire to learn about and made it better for you?
Sure. I've been somebody that's been in the middle of a lot of issues and had always tried to look at both sides of issues. But what I didn't have down, and some of the lessons I knew, but I didn't practice, or I didn't apply them in situations, especially if when emotions got involved. I think Braver Angels, one of the largest things is teaching how to be calm and to listen when if you start to get emotional about a topic. But that listening is something that I really needed to work on. The enforcement of to put all your attention towards who is speaking, especially if they're speaking about ideas that are in opposition to your own, before you come up with your own defense or your own discussion points. That's been huge. And the other big thing with Braver Angels is that how much I learned about polarization. I didn't understand that I could see what was going on with the rhetoric, but I didn't understand or have a context to put that in before Braver Angels with the whole education on polarization and the dangers of it and how to avoid it. And so with all of that, I had started listening to other news outlets, making sure that I wasn't only listening to the mainstream media. I'd go to Fox News. I would turn on different radio programs when I would make trips back to Indiana to listen to conservative sides that are in the news. Some of it, you know, I just considered outrageous, but I listened to it anyway because there are people who really believe in what I consider outrageous. I need to know what it is they believe in. And if it wasn't for Braver Angels, I wouldn't have been spending my time there. And I've learned so much from that.
Getting out of your echo chambers is what I call it. Wow, being willing to listen to others. And well, it's great to hear. I really had not ever asked you that before, so I'm glad to hear that. Jeannie, what about you? Did you just come in with this kind of, I'm God's gift to listeners, or Braver Angels hardly somehow connected?
Hardly. I don't think I'm God's gift to anybody.
Oh, come on now.
But anyway, actually, you know, I've been involved in Braver Angels since 2018, because I believe it was in September of 2018 is when I attended, helped co-host that first workshop there at the main library. And since then, I've had the opportunity to take part in various workshops. And one that really helped me a lot was the Depolarizing Within workshop, because it gave me the opportunity, you know, to realize how, you know, so often, you know, in our passion, like, you know, we feel passionate about like certain issues, you know, that we have to be really careful in how we choose our words, because words do matter in how we communicate with each other and the things we say. And I've also learned that, you know, I realized that I was getting too much of a steady diet of only, you know, like pretty far right, I think, you know, conservative news outlets. And, you know, of course, you know, I was, you know, I wrote off the news outlets that I consider to be very liberal because I thought, well, you know, they're not telling the truth or whatever. And then I realized, it kind of dawned on me that, you know, basically we see, hear, and read what they want us to see, hear, and read. And it behooves these news outlets to kind of keep people whipped up into a frenzy, because that gets more clicks or more, you know, attention to their news pieces. And so I also discovered a wonderful place called allsides.com, where it's really lovely because on any given topic or on any given news piece, they have articles that are labeled L for like left, and then C for center, and R for right. And so, you know, that has been a very helpful website to me, because I can look up any given topic or a headline. And now it's like it's just one-stop shopping. It's right there. And I can read a left, center, and a right. And so I've been trying to kind of read more that are in the center, because I feel like, okay, probably the truth is somewhere in the middle, you know, and that there may be things on a far left or a far right side that I may have to take that with a grain of salt, you know, and realize. And also too, like sometimes within my own tribe, I would hear people, again, you know, passionate in their beliefs, but sometimes the things they spewed seemed to me to be very angry and very almost hateful. And that really bothered me, because I thought, you know, it's okay to be passionate. It's not okay, you know, to be hateful towards the other side. And so, you know, and the more that I've engaged in these different, you know, workshops, of course, the last couple of years, most of them have been virtual, you know, on Zoom, because of our, you know, of the corona pandemic situation. But, you know, and I've gotten to know people, and I'm like, wow, you know, these people on the other side, they're people just like me. They have the same hopes, the same dreams, the same, you know, concerns, fears, you know, whatever. And we're all in this together. And, you know, it's kind of like united we stand, but divided we fall. And if we don't figure out to realize that, you know, we're one race, we're the human race. If you cut us, we all bleed red, you know? We're all in this thing called life together, you know, and we might as well do what we can to be a good companion on the way to our fellow human beings, you know, and that includes people with whom we disagree.
That's so beautiful. You actually introduced me to allsides.com a few years ago, and I thought a couple years ago when I first joined Braver Angels, and I thought if a librarian introduces me to a source that seems like it will help me with my digital literacy or my literacy with learning, I'm going to go look it up. And I did, and it really is good. I hope our listeners are already hearing some thematic kinds of things that are coming out of this, to focus on the humanity of the other, so important.
Yeah, one thing that's changed for me is I've tried to work more on practicing what I preach, because as I got involved in Braver Angels, I realized, you know, I was pretty partisan and I did the usual polarizing stuff. And so, like Mary, as I learned more about the polarizing, I see myself acting that way and promoting polarization. So I will say this is an acquired skill. It doesn't come right away. You do have to work at it. It's a work in progress. But anyway, let's move to something else then. We talk about making a difference in our community and working across divides to work for our community. So I'd like for each of you to talk a little bit about what you have done or maybe what you're planning to do to help our community come together across the many differences that we've already talked about, with the ultimate goal of getting something positive done for our community to improve things. Go ahead, Jeannie.
Okay. Well, one thing I'd like to do, back in April, the Braver Angels of Central Arkansas group hosted our first Arkansas Table Talk. And the topic that we covered was homelessness. And it was really wonderful how I was just so impressed that a lot of the people who came and attended that virtual workshop were people who actually work with the unsheltered community. So we had people from the van. You know, Mary works with Pax Christi. I'm an employee of the Central Arkansas Library System. And of course, we do a lot to help our unsheltered patrons in the city of Little Rock. I believe there was somebody else there from our house. And one thing that we talked about as a result of that, and we need to get on that, and I guess I should say I need to get on that. But we talked about coming together as a group, the Braver Angels Central Arkansas folks, and that would be red, blue, purple, and every shade in between, of coming together and volunteering at one of the places where they minister and provide for the unsheltered community. And I think when people have the opportunity to get together and work, you know, volunteer for a common cause, that's just a wonderful way to help build relationships. There's also another really interesting movement that's been happening in this country for, you know, several years now, and it's called Make America Dinner Again, and it's a play on Make America Great Again. But I like the idea of dinner, so I'm thinking dinner food. That appealed to me, so I started looking into it. But, you know, basically what they talk about is how when people come together and break bread and share a meal, that, you know, that is just an ancient ritual, you know, of people coming together and, you know, sharing goodwill and sharing food. And so I'm really hopeful that, you know, with things beginning to open up now, you know, now that the pandemic is not quite as, you know, dangerous as it was initially, you know, more people being vaccinated, numbers going down, all of that, that we can begin to do some more things in person and maybe, you know, share a meal, share food or whatever. And, you know, because I think those conversations around the dinner table can be of great value to help bring people together. So, you know, between people coming together to volunteer for a common cause such as homelessness, and hopefully being able to do more of our workshops in person, or maybe, you know, sharing a meal or doing something, I'm hopeful that that can be some ways that we can bring people together and get those conversations going.
Mary, what about you? See any way of doing this in the community? I mean, you're already working with Pax Christi.
Right. I work with a couple of different organizations, so I'm involved in some of the similar things like what Jeannie talked about, just working with a lot of different people. The Settled Souls, just homing people up, homeless people, putting them into apartment. Well, Jericho Way and other groups will find apartments or homes for people, and the Settled Souls makes a bare-walled apartment livable with furniture and items. And then the Pax Christi partners with them to fill the pantry of these people. So we have a lot of different people of different political views working together on just with that one single goal to make this apartment or to make this duplex or this small home livable for someone. There's just a number of those types. Again, also speaking, like Jeannie was talking about with getting people together in person, we've been on Zoom for 2 years now, with bringing people in to speak about the various issues in our world. And so we're starting for the first time this month, having in-person meetings. And Zoom is great. We've done a lot with it. We've had a lot of people attend that wouldn't have been able to attend without Zoom. But I think when we get into the in-person meetings, we'll have more of an even better camaraderie and back and forth between people with different views and how to solve whatever issue or that we're bringing about. So I'm hoping we'll have this month on the refugee issue and the Afghan refugees through Catholic Charities. Next month, we're going to focus on the violence in our community. So there's just a lot of really great back and forth of people that get very passionate and are get very vocal in some of these settings. And so some of our jobs during this is to help kind of tamp down the emotions, to get at the, you know, to say things with people. I acknowledge this, that you feel this way and try to, you know, get another opinion or view to work in there. So I think it's just all use, just continuing to use these Braver Angel skills as we move forward.
What I hear both of you saying is that you're serving where you are. You're looking for opportunities where you're already connected. And there are so many amazing organizations out there that are doing this kind of work. I think about Living Room Conversations is another example. If you want to be able to try to have people over for dinner, the come to dinner kind of thing, then you want to have it to be partly having this, illustrating these kinds of difficult conversations, then follow one of the, and it is called Living Room Conversations is the name of the organization. There's so many of these bridge building organizations that you can choose to be a part of. So based on your experiences, you know, the summary of what I've heard from you all today is really about valuing the human worth of every person that comes into our lives, even if they have differences from us. But it takes time to be able to do that. And we oftentimes don't, I know I don't oftentimes take the time. I just see that Facebook post or that tweet and I have an immediate knee-jerk reaction and an immediate judgment sometimes that I have towards what that person just said. And I'll, can you believe this? And I'll show it to somebody else, my husband who might be sitting next to me on the couch. Those are things I think that we all have within us that maybe you all don't, but I, you know, even as I've been a part of Braver Angels and I see myself being able to depolarize and do a lot of the things you're talking about, I think that we still deal with that. We still deal with the challenges. And so I guess what I'm wanting you to do is to give advice based on your own experiences, based on your own learning, to someone who might ask the question of, I'd love to get started with this, but I really seriously have no idea even where to get started because I feel like I am so in my silo with my own tribe, my own people, that I don't know if I want to get out. I mean, I used to tell people, if they were dealing with a difficult situation, well, you need to pray to be willing, to be willing, to be willing, you know, because I'm not willing yet. And so what advice what lasting, you know, action step or advice would you want to leave the listeners with today?
I could take that. I have another item that I didn't mention about my personal life is that my husband is Republican, registered Republican, while I'm a registered Democrat. So we have different tribes that we report back kind of to each other about what I am in his element, and with some of his buddies. My first, when they say something that I find just not at all what I agree with, I used to immediately, you know, hit with a barb or with the, you know, with the facts as I know them. If people that want to get started in this, if they could, just the one thing, if they could try it out, is to ask why someone believes. Just try to tamp down the urge to say your view and really look at that person that's saying something very disgusting to you or something maybe just a little bit off. But just ask the question, why? Why did you come to believe that? And just that one little word, why, could help a whole situation and conversations and get people to learn. I also think the online is a really big deal. You mentioned that, and we haven't covered that at all during this podcast, but staying away from sharing posts that are extremely one-sided, refraining from making fun of people who online, refraining from these disparaging remarks about the other side, just don't. Or if you then the next level would be, you know, putting something in online of, oh, I see this point, but have you considered my point in a nice way? That would be level two. Level one is just don't respond. Level two would try to use some of these tactics to ease it over.
Thank you. You know, the question why is powerful if we ask it with the right tone of voice. If we ask it with,
good point,
why do you believe that? You know, so I mean, you can also ask it as a how question. How did you come to that point? I remember when I asked my sister about who she voted for, and I needed to find out what was going on for her. And I understood her because I was willing to ask that question. And I appreciate her perspective now so much more when I didn't initially know for sure what was going on. And the online things, oh my goodness, that is another podcast for sure. Lasting piece of advice, Jeannie?
I found myself just kind of, you know, sitting here nodding my head at what Mary was saying. You know, I will say that if people are willing to kind of step outside of their tribe and be willing to get to know the other people, I promise it will be worth your time and effort. You know, it takes patience, it takes perseverance. And I love what Mary said about asking why, you know, because an immediate example that came to my mind is, you know, a person may, for example, be vehemently for capital punishment. But, you know, if you ask why, you might find something like, you know, my daughter or my granddaughter was raped and killed, you know, and that's heinous. And so, you know, even though we may be, you know, not for capital punishment, our heart can at least understand why that other person may be pro capital punishment, you know, because they're carrying a pretty heavy load, you know, because of a terrible situation that happened to them. And, you know, the thing about the inflammatory posts, so true. I heard actually on a conservative a Christian radio station the other day, a gentleman made the suggestion. He said, you know, instead of flippantly sharing that crazy meme that, you know, it may be funny, but is actually kind of a put down to the other side and whatever, that if we ever expect to be taken seriously, no matter which side you're on, that you have to be willing to say, you know, post a research article, for instance, and say something like, hey, friends, you know, here's an interesting article I found. Here's my initial thoughts. What do you think? You know, and, you know, and hopefully maybe it's a balanced article that might present, you know, a little bit of something to both sides of it. But, you know, if we want to be taken seriously by the other side, you know, we've got to be, you know, considerate and kind and, you know, try to have an intelligent conversation, not just fire volleys at the other side. So I think that's really, really important to see the other person as a person and try to understand.
Yeah. Firing volleys feels good in the moment. It's a very emotional and natural human instinct to do that, but it doesn't really accomplish anything, and it keeps us further apart from any kind of solution. So it is a hard thing to do, but very important. I agree.
All right, Glenn, should we wrap up?
I think we should. What strikes you, April, about our conversation with Mary and Jeannie today? What did you learn? What did it make you think about?
I knew both of you all coming into this conversation. I'm not surprised by really anything that you said, because I've seen you in action. I've seen the way that you communicate, and it has given me so much more respect for you. To come and share a little bit about your background and to tell us how you kind of got to where you are, and that you're, you know, on the path, like we all are, to recognize how we can improve our communication across our differences. So that's, to me, what struck me is I'm so appreciative of them coming and talking about the importance of this listening and curiosity and willing to take the time to embrace differences as opposed to just to automatically push them away.
And one thing I'd like to just quickly say, April, is that, you know, I can attest to the fact that when you're willing to reach across the divide and make friends, it's really kind of ironic, because some of my closest friends that I've made, like through work and other things, are people that are on the other side. And I cherish these people as friends. And so, you know, you might just surprise yourself that, you know, if you're willing to step outside your tribe, that, you know, you might find a real kindred spirit. And, you know, that's a gift that you just cannot put a price on.
Yeah, there are lots of human beings out there, more than you would think, based on the diet we get from the media and from our online presence. Yeah, I already, you know, like April, respected and appreciated you guys and where you're coming from. For me, what I'm hoping from that, and what I hear, is a really good role model for other people and an example that may inspire others who hopefully listen to the podcast and realize, gee, they can do that. I can too. So I appreciate y'all being here today and talking with us. And thank you for all the work that you do.
Thanks, obviously, to our guest today, but thanks also to our listeners for joining us for this edition of On the Other Hand. We hope that you enjoyed today's discussion of Braver Angels and the experiences of local leaders, Jeannie Burris and Mary Hunt. We would encourage you to check out this and future podcast episodes of On the Other Hand on our Braver Angels Arkansas website, and that can be found by typing in arkansas.braverangels.org. Again, that's arkansas.braverangels.org.
And, you know, too, we'd love to hear from our listeners any number of things. We'd love feedback because, you know, this is a new thing. We're just starting, and I'm already getting ideas about how we might improve things, but we'll do better if we hear from those who listen. So send us your feedback. Send us your ideas about what you like about the program, ways we can improve, ideas for speakers or topics. Whatever you want to share with us is fine. And the way to do that is email us. And the email address since this is Other Hand and we're in Arkansas, the email address is otherhandar@gmail.com. otherhandar@gmail.com. And the one thing that we ask everyone, just like we do on this podcast, is to be respectful of other opinions and stick to talking about the pros and cons of the policies and behaviors and things, and don't get into slamming people in groups. So we look forward to people joining us for that. Thank you again for everybody contributing to this. We look forward to more of this in the future. On the Other Hand is sponsored by Braver Angels in Arkansas. The music on this program was composed by Randall Standridge of Jonesboro, Arkansas. So we have an Arkansas fellow producing the music. The music was performed by the University of Northern Colorado Symphonic Band, conducted by Dr. Richard May. So from your host, Glenn White.
And April Chatham Carpenter.
Have a good evening, and let's all work to see if we can bring our community closer together.